I'm right behind you, buddy.
Man, now that's a real shame when folks be throwing away a perfectly good white boy like that.
Bueller. Bueller.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Oh, gnarly! Hey, where's the beat?
I want my MTV.
I want my MTV!
Are you telling me that you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
Live from Members Only Studios, welcome to Living in the 80s, the podcast where we talk about anything and everything having to do with the 1980s.
The best that we remember.
Good job.
Very good, Mike. That was good.
He was put on the spot, too.
I was reading. Yeah. I wasn't ready.
But you did it. You came through like a champ. Congratulations.
You remembered it.
I channeled my inner Matt.
There it is.
Last week, after the overwhelming responses from your Living in the 80s podcast, it is in the top 10 percentile of podcasts globally.
Globally?
Wow. We talked about
all around the world.
Cheating songs.
We did.
Well, after you cheat, what happens?
You break up.
Yes, you do. And we're going to talk today. Usually, sometimes she'll take you back. If you're Ray Parker Jr., probably. Unless you're not him, you probably are out of luck. But this week, we're going to talk about breakup songs. Songs that maybe got us through a tough time or about a tough time. Maybe they may not necessarily be slow, hard, tearjerker songs, but they are still breakup songs. Mm-hmm. One way or another, they're breakup songs. Before we do that, however, you know what it's time for, don't you?
80s Rewind.
So this is a part of the podcast where we talk about something 80s that happened to us this week, whether it's a movie, TV, music, something that took us back to the 80s or made us think about the decade. And we're going to start with you, Matthew, since you are proud of the fact that you're actually ready.
Oh, yeah. It might be odd that I come to a podcast prepared, and I'm not fully prepared. Let's not kid myself here, but I do got this one ready. So 80s Rewind moment was this whole fall season, actually. I've gone to just about a football game every week. I think I missed 1 week of football games. A lot of Friday Night Lights this year, which is great.
Yeah, and I've been with you. And we've Rob's had a good
been
time.
At MOSEM as well, and we've just enjoyed the heck out of it. And it's just something about seeing those Friday Night Lights. And that those moments has taken me back to 1985, when yours truly was the Hamilton Township third string junior varsity quarterback.
Wow.
Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah, 1985 third string junior varsity quarterback.
How many quarterbacks were there?
It was like eight or nine of us. No, there was three. I was number three. So I never, never played, obviously. Didn't get in a lot of games. Again, I've said this before, freshman year I was 4'11". My sophomore year I was 5'8". So even like a big growth spurt there my sophomore year, 1985, still not real tall as a quarterback in a high school situation. So junior varsity game, might have been, I don't know, maybe like a minute 12 left in the game, and I got the call. More go in. And so, it was handoff maybe here, handoff there, that kind of stuff. I'm in there. I'm doing it. It's not Friday Night Lights. JV is like Saturday afternoon game, but it was still pretty, and the crowd was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Mom, Dad.
But, yeah. but there was this one moment in 1985 when I got, we did a little 7-yard slant, and here's Johnny Neiman doing a little crisscross, and he was one dude shorter than me. I mean, like, he was just a little ball of pads running. He had to be open, and it was a little roll left, threw it 7-yard touchdown. Right, I mean, it was the most beautiful moment. It's one of my highlights. I mean, I threw a TD like the last probably 20 seconds of a game that we were getting whitewashed in. It was a pretty bad beatdown.
Oh, so you tell the coach, had I been in the entire game?
Thank you. Let the resume speak, But it was and it's the only touchdown I think I've ever thrown in an actual game. But, boy, it felt good.
So how many passes did you throw in your Hamilton career?
I mean, probably less than 15, probably, you know. Okay. Probably, okay. Yeah.
So one of those 15 was a touchdown.
You know it. That's 7 yarder, baby. It was beautiful.
You couldn't go any further. You were 7 yards away.
We were in the end zone. Yeah, I mean, if we were 10, I could have hit the whole 10. That was great.
Impressive.
Yeah, it was a beautiful moment. So, 1985 third string, junior varsity.
Wow.
Good stuff.
That's impressive.
I had an arm.
Sounds like it. You were rolling left and you threw with your right. So that's wow. That's impressive.
That's what I do.
Across the body.
That stuff. Mm.
Still got it.
I guess.
Still play. I play last Sunday. I play every Sunday.
You're like Patrick Mahomes before he was born.
Thank you.
Like you were. He's probably got Matt Moore tattooed on his neck.
I mean, if you
something.
Look close, I mean, he's got a lot. Yeah.
Okay, pretty sure. What about you, Kevin?
I realized something today, Rob. Yes. We were together, well, not together, like a couple, but we were together 35 years ago this month.
Oh, I know where you're going.
At an event up in Cleveland.
Yes.
October 1987.
One of the best concerts of all time.
We went and saw U2.
Here we go.
On their Joshua Tree tour.
Was that at Municipal Stadium or Blossom?
It was Municipal Stadium.
That would be an awesome tour.
And the opening act, first one was Little Steven.
And the Disciples of Soul.
And the second was Los Lobos on their La Bamba tour.
Yes. After that one song.
Yeah, Little Steven is Steven Van Zandt, who also happened to act in Sopranos.
And who happened to also play guitar for Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. And, we were at that concert, and it was one of the better concerts I've ever been to.
Yeah.
We were in, the first row in the balcony, so we had an unobstructed view, and I remember...
What's that? Balcony. Are we at an opera? Are we at
upper level.
Upper level.
Thank you.
Whatever you want to call it. What would you call the upper...
Upper deck.
Okay.
We're an upper deck.
Yeah. Call it an upper decker. And if you recall, the last one they played on their encore was 40.
Yes.
Which ends with them saying, how long to sing the song? And one by one, the band members left, and the whole crowd singing this. And then the concert's over, and everybody kept singing it. And then everybody starts leaving their seat and walking out of the stadium, singing this song, walking to the car. And I'm like, are we going to sing this all the way home? That's a two-hour drive. When are we going to stop singing this song? It just went on and on.
Yeah, people were singing it in the streets.
It was the wildest thing.
It was just the way the band just kind of... threw their arms around the crowd and just brought them in, and it was truly very an amazing event.
Yeah.
One of the funniest parts I remember though was, well, there's several of them. One of them was when Los Lobos was playing and a plane was flying overhead. So if you remember in the movie La Bamba, it's about the story of Richie Valens who dies in a plane wreck with Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper, and when it happens, they flash to Richie's brother, Bob, who goes, Richie!
A plane flying overhead, and you see him yell.
Yeah. And so a plane flew overhead, and it was Kevin that yells, Richie!
And every time a plane went overhead that evening, we're like, Richie!
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It never got old.
It never got old.
Maybe to the people around us.
Yes, you guys, stop it already. All right, we've seen La Bamba. Okay, we get it. Thanks. that was an awesome concert.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
How about you, Snowball?
Well, a couple of days from now, it'll be Halloween. So thinking back to the 1980s when we were kids and the Halloween costumes that we got, that nice quality plastic mask with a rubber band and two staples.
Oh, wow.
Yes. The plastic mask would cut literally into your eyeballs.
In your mouth. You'd get like chapped lips from...
You couldn't breathe, so you had to take the mask off to breathe.
Yes.
So just a little, flashback as we're in our Halloween of how bad our costumes really were.
Yes, they were pretty crappy. Yeah. So I actually have two moments I want to share.
Okay.
Two of them. One of them I remembered as Matt was talking about football. So Matt, I'm sure you remember this. Kevin, maybe you were here too. We would of course, we'd be at Cardo's, and we would leave Cardo's, and we can drive up to the Ohio State campus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the gates to to get in the shoe, the Ohio Stadium, the Horseshoe, the one of the biggest stadiums in the world, would be open.
Yep.
And there'd be just enough lighting in there that we would go play pickup football games.
Absolutely.
So I remember doing that, and I threw a few touchdown passes.
Sure did.
Ran touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. I've got more touchdown passes in Ohio Stadium than Quinn Ewers did.
There it is. Yeah.
I should have been a scholarship athlete. Right. But, man, it was so fun because, like, we were there where the legends were playing. It was all AstroTurf back then. It was just, it was a blast.
Very cool.
It was a blast. And after we're done, we're throwing the ball around, and nobody came. No security came and ran us off or nothing.
Could never get away with that
today,
now.
Today, there's no way.
No.
But back then, it was a ton of fun. So that's my one moment. The other moment, which I was stumped earlier because I knew I had one but couldn't remember what it was. I caught this show on Netflix the other day. It's called Candy. So Candy is a story of a Texas housewife that kind of loses it. And she maybe kills somebody. And the main character is played by Jessica Biel. Hmm. And so she doesn't even look like herself in the movie, but I'm only one episode in. It's very good. So if you want to see that, it takes place in 1980. So that's why there's that tie in. So
there you go.
Yeah. So that's it. Candy on Hulu. So check it out. All right. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with our breakup song. So hang tight. Welcome back to Living in the 80s, where we are going to talk about breakup songs of the 80s. But before we do that, just like we did with the cheating podcast, we're going to do the same thing, talk about some movies that had famous breakup scenes in the 80s.
All right.
Snowball, you got this look on your face like you didn't look at the spreadsheet I sent you.
I didn't look at the spreadsheet you sent me. I have my own spreadsheet.
Matt?
I didn't know there was a spreadsheet.
I know you saw it, Kevin.
I looked at it, of course.
Oh, jeez. You guys. You know, I put all this time and energy and effort. I feed you guys. I just give you a little bit of homework.
Are we breaking up?
I'm getting nervous here. I guess that's how it happened with the Beatles. Pretty sure. Okay. So, in the 80s... there were several movies that kind of tugged at our heartstrings, little breakup scenes, or maybe the whole movie was based around a breakup. So we're going to talk about some of those right now. Say Anything, 1989 movie starring John Cusack and Iona Sky. Diane Court falls in love with Lloyd Dobler. Lloyd Dobler.
That's a great name, man.
Her life gets really complicated, and she breaks up with him. He's heartbroken, and he tries to win her back. And I'm pretty sure that the boombox scene is what sealed the deal for him.
I think so.
Iconic.
Iconic. Kevin, you want to read the next one? Or
I don't have it up in front of me.
Okay, all right. I'll just read them off for you guys. We're going to bring up Last American Virgin again.
Yeah.
We talked about it last week. Karen breaks up with Gary the hard way by cheating with his best friend.
Yeah.
Terrible.
She's a jerk. Pretty in Pink. From 1986.
Yeah.
Molly Ringwald, Andrew McCarthy. Blaine breaks up with Andy because she isn't in the same social circle.
Ooh, that's rough.
What terrible. A fool.
Yeah.
Terrible.
How shallow.
How shallow. 1984 brought us 16 Candles. So there's a lot of breaking up here. Jake Ryan, played by Michael Scheffling, breaks up with his girlfriend Caroline, played by Haviland Morris. Because he falls for Samantha Baker, played by Molly Ringwald.
Molly.
So what's the bigger stretch there?
Ah, that's tough. Well,
because Jake ends up with Molly Ringwald.
Yes.
And then
Anthony Michael Hall, Farmer Ted, ends up with Caroline, who is very much a woman. They show us earlier in the shower scene how much of a woman she is. Yeah.
I believe it was a sound effect
they used. I think it was. And Caroline finds love in the waiting arms of Farmer Ted. So I would venture to say that's probably the bigger stretch.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Even 80s era Michael Anthony Hall.
I don't know. Farmer Ted's got game.
Or Anthony Michael Hall. I keep wanting to confuse him with a Van Halen bassist. Yeah. Yes. Well, Farmer Ted did have game and fresh breath.
He certainly had confidence.
He did have.
He shouldn't have.
He did,
but he had confidence.
The best scene in that movie still is when he's trapped inside that coffee table.
Jake.
So, I just did the hand motions.
So. I got one for you.
Oh,
here.
Go ahead.
So name this movie. Here's the breakup line. I really think it's in my best interest if I went out with someone more popular.
Better Off Dead.
Yes. Beth to poor Lane Meyer.
Poor Lane Meyer. Mr. Meyer. That is still holds up as one of the funniest movies of the whole decade. So
that's classic.
So do you recognize any Cobra Kai Karate Kid stars in that movie?
I'm sure there is, since you mentioned it.
Remember the crazy Asian brothers who would always pull up beside Lane?
Yes.
The one that talked like Howard Cosell? What?
Yes.
Oh, no, not now.
What do they want?
They want a race.
Lane Meyer, the kid from Green Bay.
See, here's a good example. Two brothers, one speaks no English, the other learned how to speak English from watching the wide world of sports. You tell me, which is better, speaking no English at all or speaking Howard Cosell?
That was Chosen from Karate Kid and
Cobra Kai.
Who really is very much an American guy.
Cobra Kai.
Too late. And when he talks, he has no accent.
That's so funny.
He sounds very American. So when he does the whole Asian thing in Cobra Kai, that's
pretty
all
much a sellout.
Well, I don't know if he's a sellout.
Like he's an actor.
He's a thespian.
Yeah,
trapped in a man's body. Okay, Some Kind of Wonderful. Mary Stuart Masterson, Eric Stoltz, Leah Thompson, and Craig Shiflett. Amanda breaks up with a popular Hardy Jens, goes out with Keith Nelson, who has a crush on her. Once he gets the girl, he leaves her for his best friend Watts, who is in love with Keith and has been for years. Quite a weird, probably the worst of the John Hughes teenage movies.
I don't know.
But lots of freaking out.
I've never seen that.
As an 80s aficionado, you probably need to see it for the cultural relevance. But as a movie, not
that great.
No. And the final one I have here is Can't Buy Me Love.
Mm-hmm.
From 1987.
Yeah.
Patrick Dempsey and Amanda Peterson. So Ronald Miller is the brainy nerd. Cindy Mancini is the popular, attractive girl. She ruins her mother's dress, and he agrees to pay for a new one if she pretends to be his girlfriend. They end up falling for each other, and he blows it with her by acting like an idiot, and they break up. He realizes what a dope he's been and tries to win her back.
Mm.
Moron.
Sounds like most movies made in the 80s.
Yes.
It kind of does.
There was one other breakup. It wasn't necessarily the main theme of the movie, but if you recall, in Fast Times, Brad Hamilton, he's going to break up with his girl because he's a senior and he's a successful guy.
Lisa, I have something to tell you. Look, I'm a senior now. I'm a single, successful guy, and I've got to be fair to myself. Lisa, I think I need my freedom.
And then he loses his job, and he's like, I'm so glad I've got you right now. And she goes, well, I was going to tell you. It's our senior year. We should probably break up. So everything was just kind of going wrong for Brad at that part of it.
Yes. And it just so happens that same girl is the same one that breaks up with Lane Meyer.
Oh, man, she is a heartbreaker. She,
dream maker.
Love taker.
Don't you mess around with her.
Come on.
I like how we finish each other's sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
I love that. Simpsons reference.
Yes. All right, so now, what you've all been waiting for, 80s breakup songs.
Here we go.
So we're going to start with Kevin, who's got an epic one for us.
Well, if we're going to do a podcast about breakup songs, we might as well do one by Greg Kinn called The Breakup Song.
Is it a breakup song? It was the same old song. Was that a breakup song?
I think it is.
That's a breakup song.
That was a breakup song.
Yes.
And in fact, it starts off with We had broken up for good just an hour before, so this is a fresh. This is a fresh breakup. and he makes a great point in this song. He says he goes in and he hears music playing, and he says it's the same old song with a melancholy sound. So he's hearing a song. And so, it's hard to keep a straight face when he's doing that. So it's the truth, though. When you're dating someone, you've got those
songs. They're playing
songs.
Our song.
Yeah, they're playing our song. And then you break up, and all of a sudden that song has a completely different meaning to you. You might hate that song now, or you might get weepy-eyed when it comes on. And so he's kind of like going through that. They just broke up. He hears the music, and already it's taken a different meaning for him. So, yeah, the breakup song.
Very good one. I love that song. Always have. How about you, Matt?
My first one's going to be... It's Huey Lewis in the News, If This Is It. I'd rather leave than never believe if this is it. Please let me know if this ain't love. You better let me go if this is it.
Please let me know.
Just let me know.
Mm-hmm. If this ain't love, baby, just let me go.
Yeah. But you've been thinking...
I've been drinking.
There it is. but it's kind of a sad, pathetic song of a guy just begging this chick to let me know what's happening.
There are some bad man begging songs here on the list. Yeah, we'll get into this.
This will be the first one out the gate. I mean, he has just been. I mean, it's kind of sad. I've been phoning night and moaning. I like the way he rhymes morning with phony. This is good. And I heard you say, tell him I'm not home. I mean, it's just...
That hurts.
You know, take a hint, Huey. I mean, she don't want you no more. Yeah. And it's sad to hear sometimes. It's more of an upbeat song. It's not the saddest song you're ever going to hear.
No.
But definitely...
He just wants to know the status of the relationship.
That's just checking in.
Let me know.
Yeah. Do you recall... I recall this conversation all the way back... When did it come out? 82 or something like that?
81, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember us having a conversation about... In the video, it shows the girl is breaking up with him. And he's kind of depressed at the end. And then this other girl shows up. And we're debating which one's better looking. Which, yeah, you and I kind of agreed. The one that shows up at the end was better. So he's kind of upgrading over the girl.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Better.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he had a more successful career. He kind of got more positive. You know, it's the power of love.
It's the power of love.
It's a curious thing.
Tell you. What do you get, Rob?
I think Snowball goes first. Oh, thanks. Okay.
Well, you know, he shows up with the, again, 2 weeks in a row with the ankle bracelets. Cocky now.
He is. He's... You know, anglified.
I am. All right, this one, I believe a couple guys just saw them in concert just a few weeks ago. Little Night Ranger.
Yeah.
How did they do when they performed When You Close Your Eyes?
Fantastically, they did a great job with this.
Amazing,
yeah.
It was it's probably the third time I saw them in concert, and they just, man, they have not missed a beat. They sound amazing today.
Well, my interpretation of this song is, I believe it's an old love from the past that he's struggling to truly get over. This is, to me, it was when they were younger. Now he's a little bit older. He's drinking all the time, you know, and he always wants to know. You know, when she closes her eyes, does she think about him? Because obviously he's thinking a lot about her.
I agree.
So, you know, to me, that's the whole premise, is that he just isn't over her yet. And, you know, he wants to know, does she still have a thing for him?
Yeah.
But we never find out if she does.
If only they'd had Facebook back then, they could look each other up. And
they could.
In contact.
They could have connected.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I get the same impression. I think time had passed. It's been several years. And they might have been from teenage to, like, you're in your 20s or maybe 30s, and he's still thinking about this long ago relationship. So, yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, that's my favorite Night Ranger song.
Yeah, agreed. Same.
It's an awesome song. which I almost included Goodbye by Night Ranger.
Yeah.
As a song, but we didn't want to use two Night Ranger songs.
We don't want to double dip, even though they deserve it.
They do deserve it. Yeah, amazing.
For my first song, I made a change. Now, originally, when we first did the podcast, first of all, I didn't have this croupy thing going on with my voice. When we were all together, I had Should I Stay or Should I Go by The Clash. Afterwards, I remember this other song, You Don't Want Me Anymore by Steel Breeze. You don't want me anymore. This song was released in the summer of 1982, and I changed it for this reason. I remembered it later, I loved the song, and anytime I will listen to this podcast in the future, I would have been mad at myself for leaving this song out. Fun fact about this song, when we very first started the Living in the 80s page, the very first song of the day was this one. So, not only is it a good breakup song, not only is it a great song, period, but it has a little historical background to it as well. In fact, after we got done recording the podcast, we were bouncing some texts around with about a dozen other songs that we somehow missed. So, this song here, love it, and it has a rightful place on today's list.
All right, we're going to take a break here real quick, and we'll be right back for round two of our favorite 80s breakup songs.
Thank you for listening to Living in the 80s. We want to take this opportunity to thank all of those that helped make this possible. First and foremost, we want to thank Anchor for providing this platform for us to share this podcast. We also want to thank Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TunedIn Radio, and about a dozen others. We also want to give a special thank you to Star1079.com and Roundtown Radio, where you can hear this podcast weekly. Also, be sure to check us out at our website at livinginthe80s.us and, of course, on our Facebook page, Living in the 80s. Thanks, and back to the show.
Welcome back to Living in the 80s. We're in the midst of our breakup song-a-palooza. Is that a word?
It is a word.
It is now.
It is now.
So we are going to start off with Snowball this time.
Okay.
So Snowball, kick off round two of your favorite.
All right. This was just one of their many hit songs. Billy Vera and the Beaters.
One of their many hit songs.
At this moment.
What did you think I would say at this moment, when I'm faced with the knowledge that you just don't love me?
Love that.
So this song was actually made famous. Well, let's back it up a little bit. This song was originally released in 1981. It was a live version and had very mediocre, you know, sales requests. It peaked at 79 on the Billboard 100. But then 5 years later, it had started appearing on the hit show Family Ties with Michael J. Fox. And it ended up becoming the love song, so to say, for Alex Keaton and Ellen Reed, who was actually Tracy Poland, who later in life becomes Michael J. Fox's
wife.
You know, but the funny thing is this song is truly a breakup song, but they're playing it as they have their first kiss and kind of throughout their relationship. And it really doesn't fit until the very end when she leaves and when they break up. Yeah. I mean, so, it's really about a song where she's found somebody else and she's dumping him, and he's like, well, what did you think I would, you know, hit you? Scream at you,
yeah.
Cuss at you. I mean, that's what basically, you know, the song is about. So it's really not that much of a love song,
it is,
as it was portrayed on the show, but, you know, it was truly a breakup song.
Yeah, he's so desperate. Doesn't he say, if you stay, I'll subtract 20 years from my life?
Yeah.
That's a pretty big commitment.
Yeah. Come on, Billy.
He's going to get out on his hands and knees and walk through the pouring rain.
Well, he actually says he'll fall on his knees and kiss the ground that she walks on. Yeah. Damien just told her again, and I want to say, man, get up off your knees. Hey,
man, get them ankle bracelets off. Man up.
Here we go.
Go find another woman.
Him and Huey Lewis, man. They need to man up.
Man absolutely.
Up. Speaking of man up, Kevin, give us yours.
Yeah, well, let's keep the sad, pathetic man Hard Habit to Break by Chicago. So along with the same theme, a guy almost groveling, and he's lamenting that he didn't realize how good he had it until she was gone. It says he found out just a little too late.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this. He's kind of like reflecting. It's like, okay, I was acting like you were lucky to be with me, but now I know I was the one that was lucky. And so he realized now that she's gone how great he had it. So.
Yeah.
He's reflecting a little bit too late at this point.
A little too late.
Yep.
Day late and dollar short.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
My second one's going to be this song, and it's just kind of in the same vein as yours there, Kev. Always Something There to Remind Me by Naked Eyes. And every step I take reminds me of just how. About 1983, and this is just a really sad dude. when you hear this song, it's like, this dude is broken hearted. I mean, in the lyrics of the song, it's like there's not a whole lot more that's said in the song other than the one line, always something there to remind me.
Everywhere he looks.
Yeah, he says, I walk along the city streets. You used to walk along with me. Every step I take reminds me of just how it used to be. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But I think it's like 15 or 20 times, it's close to 20 times in a song, the phrase, always something there. To remind me. Yeah. Oh my gosh, every time I turn around.
So if I'm his therapist,
yeah,
I'm going to recommend you move somewhere else.
Find some new city streets to walk on.
New neighborhood, new city, new state.
New restaurants, bro. New everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, it's kind of funny.
Oh, that's great. So my second song is Missing You. By John Waite. And there's a heart that's breaking down this long distance line tonight. I ain't missing you at all. Since you've been gone, I ain't missing you. It's a great song.
Great song.
In the song, he is telling his woman that he's not missing her.
I am missing
but
you.
Everything about him is contrary to that. Yeah. So she's gone.
I think he's trying to convince himself.
That's exactly it.
Yes, yes. And there is a small part of this. I found this out on the Living in, or not Living in the 80s, that other show, 80s on 8, on SiriusXM. They have a podcast where some of the MTV VJs are talking about it. But for a brief period of time, John Waite dated Nina Blackwood. And the MTV VJ, the hot, sultry, vixen-looking thing.
Definitely a smoker.
Yeah, definitely. You can really tell now when you hear her voice. She can barely talk.
Hey, baby.
But back in the day, she was the it girl. Like every guy just went nuts after. But they dated for a while. And there's a small part of the song he dedicated to her. And when he was in England and they were dating, he sent her a telegraph. Because, you know, you couldn't, like, send a text or an email. Mm-hmm. You would have to, you know,
a telegraph.
Send a message that way.
Have any of you ever telegraphed a girl?
I have not. I couldn't really afford to send right. a telegraph.
Can you still do telegram? That? So, I might send my wife one.
So they're the part in Western it... Union. The part in the song says, and there's a message I'm sending out like a telegraph to your soul. And he had done the song. He was in the studio and he called her. Because, after you know, their relationship wasn't real long. And they parted as great friends. And they're still great friends till to this day. And he played that part for her. He's like, that little part there, that's for you. And she's like, she said she's almost in tears because no one had ever like written a song about her. She's like, even though the song's not about me, that little part dedicated to me just made my day. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. The next time you hear a little part, think about Nina Blackwood.
You guys ever written a song?
I'm sure I have. It's probably dumb. I don't know.
Come on, I picture you writing songs.
All right, the song that makes the young girls cry.
Yes, you do.
Have you ever written one?
I haven't, but I was thinking we could collaborate, write us a song, and perform it right here on the Living in the 80s podcast.
Oh, we should. You know, maybe we could work on that for like, be really the next cool, though, podcast.
I am very confident we could come up with the lyrics. I have no doubt lyrics. About that. Between the four of us, we could come up with the lyrics.
Great would be really...
I don't think we got a singer in the
band. Oh, we don't can blend it all together.
Yeah. I don't think it's a requirement. Maybe it could be part of it, could be rapping.
Have you heard Biz Markie sing?
Yeah, Biz Markie.
Didn't stop him.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
So, yeah, Missing You, great song. Went to number one back in 1984. And John Waite, former lead singer for the Babies. He's had a great career after that. This song has been covered by Tina Turner, Alison Krauss, and a host of others. And he even remade it himself as a country song.
Well.
Yes. So it was on the country charts, apparently. I didn't realize that until I started doing a little research on the song. But there is apparently a country version.
Hmm.
Let's give it a little listen, shall we?
Okay.
And joining John Waite on that duet was the lovely and talented Alison Krauss, who has the voice of an angel.
So not as good as the original,
no.
But it's John Waite.
So. He's trying to cash in on it one more time.
That's right. Hey, you know what? If it worked the first time, it'll work countrified. So, all right. One more quick break. We'll be back with our last round of breakup songs. And stay tuned. Welcome back to Living in the 80s. We are in our final segment, our last round of breakup songs. So we are going to start with Snowball this time.
Okay. I don't know why I am drawn to songs like this that are just pathetic masculinity. Maybe that's why I'm drawn to you guys. You know, okay. I don't know.
Okay. Wow. Because you want to be around guys that actually are masculine to help you maybe pull up your self-esteem a bit. But go ahead.
Get to the point.
Okay. Anklet. Well, this song...
Anklet.
You should call it Anklet. This song most appropriately peaked at number two in 1980, All Out of Love by Air Supply.
There you go.
Number two, because it sounds like number two.
That's why. All
right. Carry on.
Carry on. Okay. Well, the lyrics, I'm going to be honest, they're pathetic. I'll just kind of give you the opening line. All right. I'm lying alone with my head on the phone, thinking of you till it hurts.
Okay, well, hold on. How many of you been there? Have you been on the phone for those minimum 3 to 4 hour phone conversations, not sure what's going on in a relationship, and you just lay in there talking it out? Yes or no?
Well, this sounds like he's waiting for a phone call that's not coming.
He's waiting on a call?
He's
not like you, Matt, where you were bored of the girl trying to get off the phone. This guy's wishing the girl would talk to him.
He wishes he could carry her smile in his heart for the times when life seems so low.
Oh, wow.
He's all out of love. He's so lost without her. I mean, we're just four dudes sitting around talking about some really cool tunes. And this is probably about as cool a song as there is.
Wow.
Lying alone with my head on the phone, thinking of you till it hurts. I know you're hurt too.
I couldn't go any higher. But what else can you do?
Tormented and torn apart.
Oh, that hurts.
That's wow. Nice one. Yeah, well, I got to ask a question. Kevin, did you own an Air Supply t-shirt?
No. I didn't. I owned the first Air Supply album.
Okay, that was all right. That's close.
I got it on Columbia Record and Tape.
Well, you had to. They probably sent it to you a couple hundred times.
No, I think I actually ordered it.
I was trying to help you out. Full confession.
That's before I knew my musical tastes were unrefined still back then. Yeah. So, but I liked Lost in Love, the first single, which is why I bought the album. And then it was like, this thing's crap. So,
well, they are from Australia.
So is NXS, though.
Yeah. Oh. And AC/DC. Big difference.
Minute Work.
Rob, we're going to test BG's. Your knowledge.
Okay.
So what is the name of the two singers in Air Supply?
Russell Hitchcock and Russell Graham.
Graham Russell.
Very close.
That's impressive.
Thanks.
I mean, you know Matt Moore when it comes to trivia.
Yeah. You know? I try. I only wish I could achieve that level of trivial greatness.
Yeah, you'll have that.
You're my hero, Matt.
Thank you. Thank you.
Kevin, please take us away from Air Supply.
Okay. A little more upbeat than that. And this one is Would I Lie to You by Eurythmics.
Hate that band. Oh, go on.
So the reason I chose this one, first of all, I'd never really picked up that this was a breakup song, but clearly she's breaking up with someone, and unlike some of the other songs where it's these guys is almost begging the ladies to stay, she's like, I'm out of here. This is kind of like that female empowerment. She's like, I'm done with you, and I've packed my bags, and I'm heading out the door. Like, she's done with this person. So a little more of an upbeat song, and she almost seems like she's glad to be getting out of a relationship. So that chose Eurythmics. Now, you just said you don't like Eurythmics.
I do not. Really?
None of their songs.
Not that I can recall.
Wow.
What about those sweet dreams that are made of these?
No.
Who are you to disagree?
I am.
Okay. I think the only Eurythmics song I can think of that I don't really like is Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It just sounds too...
When I do hear that, I think of the Simpsons episode where Milhouse and Bart are jumping up and down on the bed. They had found some wigs, or I can't remember how, but they found some wigs, and they're jumping up and down the bed singing Sisters Are Doing For Themselves. Anytime I hear that song, I think of that scene, and I'm like, right, then I change the station because that song's horrible.
Sisters are doing it for themselves.
Hey, why is this door locked?
Oh no, it's Dad. Whoa!
No. Earth, what's going on?
And I want a non-gay explanation.
But Love is a Stranger is a song that I didn't like as much back then that I think now is like one of my more favorite songs by Eurythmics. I think they're incredibly talented.
Yes.
Now, were you thrown off by the red hair and the short?
I kind of dug that, but no.
That's the one thing I didn't like. I'm like, she's so pretty. Why did she do that to her hair?
Right.
So
interesting.
Yeah. All right, Matt.
Mine is, a group that was referenced. U2. You guys were talking about the Joshua Tree concert there. 1987, With or Without You.
Sleight of hand and
twist of fate. On a bed of nails, she makes me wait. And I wait without you. With or without you.
I mean, it's just one of their more iconic songs. Got a lot of love even later in the 90s with Friends. It got a big push there as well. But it's just one of those songs. It's, I mean, you just can't live with or without you. It's kind of sad, really.
Indecisive. Make a decision.
You know, step up to the plate here. You got a little sleight of hand. You got a
twist of fate.
You got a twist of fate. On a bed of
nails.
Nails. She's making
weight.
Yeah. Women.
Yeah.
But
have a woman weight. Laying on a bed of nails, that's pretty impressive.
Think about that for a second. Really? Think about that for
pull
a second.
That off. Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. But I mean, the song. The song, I mean, not the 80s, but it's kind of, when you think of the Ross and Rachel relationship for this song, it kind of is the whole thing in Ross and Rachel in the 80s, or in the 90s, or that's the big breakup, you know, shebang there.
Are they going to get back together?
Are they going to get
back together? Man, they tease it for like 3 years. Because I like watch Friends reruns now at night. Mm-hmm. Nothing's on, you know.
Yeah.
It's on. It's like, oh my gosh, they do drag that out for a long time.
Mm-hmm. They had a lot of play out of that.
They sure did. Yeah. And you know that was U2's first number one song?
First number one song.
Yes. I remember when that was released, the DJ on QFM 96, when they weren't playing U2 on Top 40 radio yet, so the rock stations would play it. And the DJ says, when U2 puts out a record, it's like God puts out a record. Like, mm-hmm. It's just that powerful and just so, you know. This is a band that was like full of emotion when they sang. And yeah, great song.
Good stuff.
My final song is comes from 1982. The band's name is Scandal. The song is Goodbye to You.
Goodbye to you.
This is a very upbeat song, very mm-hmm. peppy and lively, and I love this. She says, those times I waited for you seem so long ago. I wanted you far too much to ever let you go. And then later on, she says, because baby, it's over now, no need to talk about it. It's not the same. My love for you is not the same. So she just tells him.
Yep, I made a decision. We're
Boom.
Done.
So
we're Goodbye. Done.
See ya.
Right. I'll let the door hit you in the, you know, on the way out.
And she says, guess it's better to say goodbye to you.
Goodbye to you.
So, yeah. Love that song. We talked about Patti Smyth a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. She has got an amazing voice. Very underrated artist. Yep. Scandal was a good band. This song is probably definitely their biggest hit. And I could just listen to her sing the phone book. She's got an amazing voice. Her and Bonnie Raitt. Mm. I could listen to them anytime. So,
good stuff. Good song.
All right. Boys. So, did we miss any?
Probably did.
We probably did. What about Oh No by the Commodores?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one. I Can't Tell You Why by the Eagles.
Mm. Oh,
that's a good one. The One You Love by Glenn Frey. Are you going to stay with the one you love?
Are you
going back to the one you love?
Come on.
A little cover tune. Willie Nelson, Always On My Mind.
That's a cover too?
Yes, Elvis.
I didn't realize Elvis did that.
Elvis released that in the 70s somewhere, yes. Wow. I remember my mom having it on an 8-track tape playing in the car. So.
Wow. I never realized that was a cover tune.
That's my reference. That's the only place I can go on that one.
All right. Let's see here. Separate Ways, Worlds Apart by Journey. Yes. I'm going to use that one, but we talked a lot about that a few weeks ago, so didn't want to rehash that song again. And If You Leave by Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, OMD, from the Pretty in Pink soundtrack. That is that's a great breakup song. Again, it's the whiny guy. If you leave, don't leave now. Yeah. Please don't take my heart away. And just like Andy had ripped Blaine's heart out because he saw her after he was stupid. And, you know. And another good one here. Wrapped around your finger by the police.
Oh, yeah.
So, basically, a guy's got this girl and he's wrapped around her finger. And then one day, she'll be wrapped around his finger.
The tides turn, don't they?
Yes, they do.
One song I couldn't stand in the 80s, but it's a great... I mean, from a breakup song standpoint, it's spot on, is Against All Odds. Mm-hmm. Take a Look at Me Now. I never liked that
Phil
song.
Collins.
But,
yeah, me neither. He's sounds very... So depressed,
he's really depressed. Yeah. He's pretty sad. Take a look at me now.
It's like, he's breaking up, man. Yeah, give us the slack, man.
He's crushed. Yeah, I know. I should get... Poor guy's heart's breaking. I'm dumping on him. That's terrible.
Man.
Don't You Want Me was another one I thought about. I thought long and hard about that one because this is one where sounds like they were together when... Neither one had really done anything with their lives. One becomes kind of famous.
Well, back when she was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
That much is true.
Yeah. He picked her out.
See, we know.
Shook her up and turned her into something, turned her around and turned her into something new. But then 5 years later on, she's got the world at her feet. And, you know, now he's still like a nobody. And so now it's kind of the tides have turned, you know. Success has been so easy for her, but he can... He can bring her back down, is what he's saying. It's kind of a threatened song, but
kinda.
I say kind of, I mean absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so I think we've exhausted our list. Am I right?
But there's always many, many more.
There's always many, many more, and I'm sure we miss some. So get on the Facebook page, Living in the 80s. Tell us about them. What do we miss? Here's one we're not going to miss. We're going to play it as our outro today. This is from Whitesnake. It's Here I Go Again. Listen to these lyrics. I don't know where I'm going, but I sure know where I've been. Hanging on the promises and songs of yesterday. And I've made up my mind. I ain't wasting no more time. Here I go again.
Come on.
There it is.
Sing it.
So, thank you guys for joining us for another week of Living in the 80s. We'll be back next week. We just made this. We have a song we're going to write for you.
Maybe.
I think we're going to have to make it happen.
That's going to take a lot of work on our part.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
You know what?
We'll see.
If anybody can do it, and do it badly, it would be us.
We could terribly do that.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining again. Thank you for your evening, gentlemen. And everybody out there, thank you for listening, making us one of the top in the 10%. Top 10 percentile of podcasts in the United States. In the world, yes. In the world. Of all of her. All of all the galaxies. So, yes. All right. Here's Whitesnake. Thanks. Take care. God bless.
Dudes sitting around talking about some really cool tunes, and this is probably about as cool a song as there is.
Wow.
Lying alone with my head on the phone, thinking of you till it hurts. I know you're hurt.
I couldn't go any higher. But